If you want to head in for the whole of the book, the 12 chapters, it's a life worth living. But this morning, we are looking at the first chapter. And you could call that a life not worth living. But we'll call it vanity of vanities, to be on the safe side. Now, if anybody doesn't know where Ecclesiastes is in your Bible, put your two thumbs together like that in the middle of your Bible and turn there. And somebody let me know where you turn to. I've turned to Psalms, and that is about right. It's about halfway. And if you then go on from Psalms through Proverbs, 31 chapters, I think, in Proverbs, and then on to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to read the whole of the chapter, and then we're going to have a look and see what it means to us. And if you've never been depressed before, you're going to be depressed this morning. So here we go. Verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor that he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth around unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Did anybody notice? That's the second time we've read, under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old times, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Again, he mentions under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be straightened, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness, and to know folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Blessed God and Father, this morning we praise thee that we're able to come together in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we've been singing of, that Jesus is Lord. And as we look at these words of Solomon, as he contemplates life from old age, we pray, our God and Father, we will see in it what you would have us to see. As I've already said, our God, it can be very depressing to read the things that he looks at when he reminisces about his childhood and his youth and the life that he has lived. And we see the regrets that he's had. But we pray that we will see in it none other than thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. I think I did too much singing earlier on. I can't talk now. Now, as you probably noticed, I've got two Bibles this morning. When I've got two Bibles, it means the message is going to be twice as long. But I've got a few little notes in this Bible that I need to look at. So Solomon is talking generally in this 12 chapters about a life that is worth living. Now, sometimes we sit down, don't we, and things are so bad that we say, what is life all about? And James says it in the New Testament. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. And that's all our lives, all our lives. And the older you get, the quicker life goes by. Or so Brian tells me. I don't know anything about that, but we do, don't we? We know that a year has gone. It doesn't seem like a year since you went to camp last. And you look back on things that are annual, like Christmas and Easter and things like that. And you look back and you think, it was only last week. It was Easter last year, wasn't it? Or camp last year or whatever it is. But Solomon wants to tell us about his life and the regrets that he had. We know there's a popular song that's sung at funerals, and some of the words in it would tell us this. Regrets, I have a few, but then again, too few to mention. But if we were honest with ourselves and truthful with ourselves, especially as we get older, I would say, regrets, I have so many, and too many to tell you about. I'm sure those who are older will agree with me. Now, when we look at this book of Ecclesiastes, it's what's called one of the poetic books of the Bible. And there are five poetic books. And the one we're looking at on Wednesday night is Job. That's where they start. And we're looking at Job in the Bible study on Wednesday night. You've got Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And the last three of those books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, were written by Solomon himself. Some people would argue with that, but I think from the context of them, you can tell that the majority of them were written by Solomon. So, the early works of what is called wisdom literature, early examples of wisdom literature, they're basically philosophy when we look at life. And we all look at life from time to time. You can't live life in constant pleasure and running around doing this and that where you don't even think what your life is all about. And Solomon wrote this book about 3,000 years ago. But we're told back in 1 Kings chapter 4 that he also wrote 3,000 proverbs in total and 1,005 songs. That's a lot of writing, isn't it? And a lot of effort. And he did many, many other things as well. And we know that he was the king in Jerusalem because we're told in the chapter that we've just read. So this was written about 950 to 1,000 years ago. Can't tell you exactly. And it's written to those who seek significance and meaning in life. And when you look on the internet these days, everyone's a philosopher. Everyone can tell you how to live your life or how you should have lived your life. But for many of us, it's too late to go back to our youth and live it again. What we've lived, we've lived. And this is what Solomon is telling us in these words. And the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And here Solomon is the man who is the preacher. And the main thrust of his work is to tell us this, because he does come to a conclusion in the end, that life without God is meaningless and empty. So let's have a look at a few verses here. But first of all, before we do that, there are certain words throughout this 12-chapter book that are used again and again and again. And the first one, and the one that we're looking at this morning, is vanity. And vanity is mentioned 39 times throughout the book. If you're taking notes, I'll run through the words and the expressions that he uses so that you can write them down. The second one we've read three times this morning in this chapter, and that's under the sun. We read under the sun. Verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? And that's one of the expressions he uses. And under the sun is used 29 times. Vanity. We come back to vanity again. 39 times it's used. Did I say 39 times first time? I hope I did. 39 times. God is mentioned 40 times. Heart is mentioned 40 times. And wisdom, wise and wisely is mentioned 50 plus times. But let's come to that first verse. What does it say? The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Now, to me and you, who might have read a little bit of the Bible, it can be no doubt to us that that was Solomon. And yet people who write all these commentaries, oh, we think it could possibly have been Solomon, or it possibly could have been somebody else. And yet here it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Well, the only king in Jerusalem that was a son of David is Solomon. And we see his words here. And we know from Scripture that he was the wisest man that ever lived on earth. The wisest man that ever lived. The wealthiest man that ever lived. The most influential man that ever lived. We're still talking about him now, 3,000 years after he died. So it's Solomon we're talking about. The second verse is a sad, sad verse. And it says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, if you mention a word five times in one sentence, it must be an important word. And he's trying to get over to the reader and the listener that vanity is the problem. But when we think of vanity today, we think of somebody who is vain, don't we? And thinks highly of themselves. But vanity in this context means emptiness. It means meaninglessness. It means vapor. It means emptiness. And it also means breath. And it also means wind. And we know that the breath that we breathe out is with us. And then it's gone. And we know that the wind, as John's Gospel tells us, it bloweth where it listeth. It blows where it wants to blow. And we'll come on to that in a moment. So vanity of vanities. He's talking about emptiness of life. And when we consider life, and when we look at life from all sides, we think, where is the point? Verse 3, he says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now that expression, under the sun there, it occurs those, do we say 29 times? 29 times in this book. And Solomon is looking at life, not life in relation to God, or life in relation to heaven. In this chapter, he's looking at life at a lower level, life under the sun, the life that we are all living at this very moment. And that's exactly what he's looking at. Everything that happens under the sun and how meaningless it all is. And he goes on to prove his point and to give us some examples. And he says, the sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down. And it hasteth back to the place where it started. That's what he's telling us. Every day, even though in Wales we don't see it very often and there's too many clouds, the sun still comes up above the clouds. And the sun comes up and it does its circuit and it goes down again. And he's talking about the monotony of life. Life goes round and round and round in circles. So the sun goes down and goes back to the place where it arose. I've spoken about wind already. And in verse 6, he says, "The wind goeth toward the south, and it turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." And as far as we are concerned, the wind, we cannot see it. We can see the results of it, but we cannot see it. And as far as we are concerned, again, it is haphazard. It goes, and that's what Jesus tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 8. "The wind bloweth where it listeth. It bloweth where it wisheth. It goes wherever it wants to go, and we cannot control the wind." So that's the wind. He says, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." And Charlton and I went to Devon last week. We went to North Devon to Woolacombe. And if anybody's been to Woolacombe Beach, you'll know that there's a little stream that runs down as you walk down to the beach. And the stream runs down to the sea. And I think the first time I went down there was 60-odd years ago, 63 years ago maybe. And that stream was there then. It's been there ever since, and it's still there today. And this is what Solomon is telling us in this verse. "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And they evaporate and go into the clouds. And they come back, and they do their circuit. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it." And we know that we've got to, at some stage in our life, we've got to work. Today, people put it off as long as possible, and they retire as early as possible as well. But it wasn't always like that. Certainly wouldn't have been in Solomon's day. And it says, the end of the verse, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." And we can, I love streams, especially the little streams and rivers of Wales. And you can walk up a stream and you can see a pool. And it's lovely, isn't it? And a nice fine day and the sun is shining and you see a pool. But you're never satisfied with seeing one pool. You've got to see as many as you possibly can. And you walk up the river. And if you can get to the source of the river, even better. So you've seen it all. But even then you wouldn't be satisfied. You'd just go and find another river to look at, wouldn't you? Or I would anyway. So the ear is not filled with hearing. We hear every day, don't we? We hear what people say every day. But we're never completely satisfied with what we hear. And we come back to listen and to listen for more. Verse 9. "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be." So what's he saying? Those things which were in yesteryear, they'll come back again. And we know that's true of fashion. We've seen fashions come and go over many years. And we're wearing the things today that maybe people wore 50 years ago. So, he says, "That which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." So this life we've got, there is no new thing under the sun. He's speaking again about under heaven, apart from heaven and apart from God. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. And there is no remembrance of former things." Now we can remember maybe back as far as our great grandparents. I doubt anybody can remember any further back than that. But there are things in the past that we know nothing about. We can read history, but we won't know everything that was in the past. We won't have a clue. There in verse 11, he says, "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." So when our time is done, and when we are no longer here, there will be people, our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, who will supersede us. And they might end up, well, they will certainly end up, in a matter of time, being no remembrance of us at all. We'll just be a record on a birth certificate or whatever. This message is getting worse, isn't it? It's going south, as they say. It's not getting any better. But I promise you, there'll be 2 minutes at the end where you'll be glad that you looked at it. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So he's reinforcing again that he is the one that wrote it. Solomon is the one who wrote it. And he says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. That's almost exactly the same expression as under the sun. It's beneath heaven. It's on earth he's talking about. So he gave his heart to seek out wisdom, remembering now that God came to Solomon and he said, what is it that you desire? I will give you your heart's desire. And the one thing Solomon asked for was wisdom. God gave him wisdom so that he was the wisest man on earth. So he sought out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And this sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. And that word exercised there is humbled. For us to be humbled, that we look at life and we realize that we haven't got all the answers. If Solomon, in all his wisdom, didn't have the answer to the problems of life, then certainly we haven't got it here this morning. So he humbles us. God humbles us. He says in verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And he did many great works himself. He built that wonderful temple. He built palaces. He built buildings. And there were many buildings that he had looked at. And he knew what had been done under the sun. And he says, and behold, all is vanity, or all is emptiness, and vexation of spirit. Now that word vexation is one we don't use very often. But what he's speaking of is a feeding upon the wind. If we fed upon the wind, we wouldn't be very well nourished, would we? There would be no nourishment in it. A feeding, just an eating of the wind. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. Vanity and vexation of spirit. He says in verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And we look at our world today, and we're living in a perverse world. We're living in a crooked world. We're living in a corrupt world. We've only got to look at the elections in America and the government in our own country. And all we see around us is corruption. And that in itself is a vexation of spirit. And so much that is lacking, so much that is wanting, that it cannot be numbered. He says, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. And he was not only the wisest man, he was the wealthiest man that lived. I am come to great estate. He had everything that money could buy, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Not only in Jerusalem, in the whole world. He says, yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. So he learnt everything there was to learn. He was an expert on trees and shrubs, we read in another part of the Bible. But he was an expert on many things because God had imparted to him that wisdom. And he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and to know folly. So he hadn't only looked at wisdom, he had looked at foolishness. We see that in Proverbs. He'd looked at foolishness. He'd looked at madness. He'd looked at stupidity. And there's a lot of stupidity about us today, isn't there? And he said, I perceived that this also is a vexation of spirit, or a feeding upon of the wind. I told you it didn't get any better, didn't I? For in much wisdom is much grief. I want to look at this verse in a bit more detail. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. It's possible, isn't it, to know too much. Maybe about an illness that we have. Things that it would be better if we'd never read or never learnt. And some people are smiling here because the first thing we do when we get ill is we go on Google, don't we, and see what it says. See? And we all do it. But it's not the right thing to do, because there is grief in finding out how bad whatever you've got is. But also, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, we can spend all the time we like, and I've spent too much time myself, looking at the elections in America. We can spend too much time looking at the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel and Gaza. And we look at all the details and we become obsessed with these things. But what does it do to us? It affects our minds, and it brings us, exactly as Solomon says, it brings us to sorrow. It's a pointless exercise. And we've got not so much wisdom, but we've certainly got a lot of knowledge at our fingertips and on our mobile phones. We can look up anything in an instant, but we spend all our time looking at it. And all we've done, we've studied life. And there's a song, isn't there? Goes back a bit. There's not many of you will remember it. I want to look at it this morning, very briefly. It's a pop song, it is. I don't like talking about pop songs from the pulpit, but this is a song about life. And many songwriters look at life, don't they? And they sing about life. And they sing about things that touch us. And we think, that's absolutely right what that guy is singing about. Does anybody remember Joni Mitchell? Brian remembers. You sure do. 1984. And she sang that song, I've looked at life from all sides, or for both sides now, I think was the song. But we can look at life from both sides now. We can look at life from all sides now. And not a lot of benefit will it bring us. But it's so sad, the last verse of that song, I think it's about 10 verses in it. It says, it's life's illusions that I recall. And when we look back through rose-tinted glasses, and it's the illusion of life that we see, not the reality. And she sings this, it's life's illusions that I recall. I really don't know life. The last verse, Bri, at all. I really don't know life at all. And that's where we are, in our natural state, without God. But I'm glad that Solomon, in the very last two verses of chapter 12, he brings a conclusion in. First of all, in verse 8, he says, the words of the wise. Sorry, verse 11. No. Wait a minute. We'll go back to the other Bible. Not that it says anything different. It's just in the highlighted in a different place. And he almost comes to the end of chapter 12. And in verse 8, he comes to the same conclusion as he came to in verse 1, in chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanities. So for 12 chapters, he's going south. He's going downhill. It's downhill all the way. Life is not worth living. Life is empty. It's just not worth the effort. But in verse 12, the last two verses of chapter 12, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's coming to a conclusion and he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So he's saying that we can live our lives under the sun. We can do what we want. We can take our fill of enjoyment and pleasure. We can do anything we want to do. But at the end, God will judge us for it. So the conclusion of the matter is fear God and keep his commandments. And Solomon is looking back as an old man, and he's looking back with regret that he never honored God. He did honor God in parts of his life, But for the majority of his life, he didn't honor God the way he should. But he was forever too late. But it's not forever too late for us. Even if we are 80, 90, 90 odd years old, we can still turn our hearts and our minds to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Solomon has written some wonderful, wonderful things, not least of all what we have read. But how grateful we can be this morning that there's more to the Bible than just that little book of Ecclesiastes. We've got 66, 65 other books to look at in the Bible. We're not going to look at them all this morning. But we can be grateful that that is not the only thing that is written. For in that chapter, the way to God, he's told us that we must fear God and keep his commandments. But the way to God has not been made completely clear. What is the way to God? And we have one unanswered question. And it's the question that Thomas asks of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. And he says to the Lord Jesus is saying, I will go away. And Thomas asks him, he says, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? And Jesus says, very, very simply to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the answer to this life, and the things we don't understand, the answer to this life, and to eternal life, is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if we want to come to God, the only way is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, all roads lead to the grave. But with Christ, all roads lead to glory. Where are we going? Do we know where we're going? But he gives a stern warning there. And I know the youth in camp have been looking at lights and lighthouses, amongst many other things. And a lighthouse is there as a beacon, as a warning to shipping not to crash onto the rocks. And the warning to us as individuals, however old we are or however young we are, the warning to us, don't crash on the rocks, but come to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. Now we're all walking along a path, wherever that path is. Your path is different to mine. And my path is different to yours. But we are walking along a path through life. And I heard a message just the other day. There's an old man speaking. And he said, too late to change the path we've trod when we come face to face with God. What a message that is. Forever too late. But it's not, because we today are still in the land of the living and we still have the option, we still have the choice to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. And the Lord Jesus Christ could speak and he could say in the New Testament, behold, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater in wisdom, a greater in wealth, and a greater in influence. You see, Jesus could say to each one of us, whatever life we've lived, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Where do we find that life? Well, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him hanging on the cross of Calvary. There, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you want to come to God tonight? Well, you come through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And we will all face judgment. Some of us will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge of all the earth before the judgment seat of Christ. And ultimately, we will be aware of the things we got right and the things we got wrong. But he will say to us, welcome, come into my presence. But what about those who have ignored him, rejected him, just as he was rejected on the cross of Calvary? We will not have this man to reign over us. And our attitude this morning, saved or unsaved, unfortunately, might be we will not have this man to reign over us. You see, there are two people, two kinds of people in this world. I think C.S. Lewis said it. And he said, there are those that say to God, God, thy will be done. But there are those also who God says to them, if that's the way you want to go, then your will be done. You go your own way, you make a choice. And that choice is before us this morning. And the judgment of God upon those who don't believe in him and have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the judgment is to be banished from his presence for all eternity. There's a place reserved in hell for those who don't believe. What will you choose this morning? Will you choose heaven or will you choose hell? Will you turn to Christ for salvation or will you go your own way? The Bible says, all we like sheep, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and we've gone hither and thither. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Our sins have been dealt with at the place called Calvary. But to avail ourselves of salvation, we need to put our faith and trust in the one who loved us, the one who died for us, and the one who we will meet again someday, face to face with Christ my Savior, the hymn writer says. Face to face, what will it be when in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Father, we praise thee this morning for the blessing of thy word, our God. Speak to us from it. Speak volumes from these words that Solomon preached, our God. We know it is the word of God. And maybe it has been a bit demoralizing and depressing hearing what Solomon had to say. But we thank thee, our God and Father, that there is an answer to this world's needs and is only to be found in thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be that we will consider life, but we will consider death too, and we will consider eternity, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Now we'll sing our last hymn. There will never be a sweeter story, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death at the place called Calvary. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
perhaps Andrew would close in prayer for us. Thanks, Andrew.
Father, we thank you for the faithful word that we've heard this morning. We thank you too, Father, for the last hymn that reminds us that you showed your greatness of your love in sending the Lord Jesus to die for our sins and to rise again from the dead, that our lives might not be vanity, that our lives might not be a life of nothingness. We think of the Saviour's words himself, who said, "You clothe the grass, you give beauty to the flowers, and life is more than food. The body is more than for clothing." Therefore he said, "Seek ye, because your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Father, if we live for ourselves, as we've been reminded, life is vain. But we thank you for the Apostle Paul, who said that our labour is not in vain if it is in the Lord. We think of the poem that says, "Only when life 'twill soon be past, but only what's done for Christ will last." May we live for his glory and not for ourselves, that we might hear one day that beautiful saying of the Saviour, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We thank you, Father, for Andrew's message this morning. We pray that you will bless the message that you've laid upon his heart this evening, and also the young people at camp, that they might be an encouragement to us, and they might help those of us who are older to encourage them to live for the Saviour and to build up treasure, not for this earth, but treasure that will last for eternity. Accept our thanks, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.